The last minute, we thought of discussing this sloka from Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 41 chapter, text 47. Something relevant to us when Krishna comes in our life, or how we can prepare to welcome him. How the Mathura Vasi was preparing to welcome him with his brother Balaram. So this verse explains 10.41.47. Please invoke the mercy of, before reciting Bhagavatam, please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskritam narancaiva narottamam devim sarasatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayat nasta prayesu abhadresu nittam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Oh, you put it out. Nahi bam vishama drishti suri dor jagat atmana samayo sarva bhutesu bhajantam bhajayat bhajat bhajator api Nahi vam vishama drishti suridor jagat atmana samayo sarva bhuteshu bhajantam bhajator api. Would somebody like to chant? Nahi vam vishama drishti suridor jagat atmana samayo sarva bhuteshu bhajatam bhajatorapi.
Nahi vam vishama
drishti
suridor jagat atmana
samayo sarva bhuteshu
bhajantam
bhajatarapi
nahi
vam vishama drishti bhajantam bhajatorapi. Mothers,
nahi vam vishama drishti
nahi vam vishama drishti suridor jagadatmana samayo sarva bhuteshu
bhajantam bhajatorapi.
There is not he indeed. Bam on your part. Visama bias. Drishti Visham Surido, who are well wishing friends. Jagat of the universe.
Atmana
the soul. samaya equal sarva to all bhuteshu living beings bhajantam those who worship you bhajata reciprocating with api even. Here's the translation. Because you are the well-wishing friends,
because you are the well-wishing friends,
and supreme soul of the whole universe,
and supreme soul of the whole universe,
you regard all with unbiased vision.
You regard all with unbiased vision.
Therefore, although you reciprocate your devotees' loving worship, you always remain equally disposed towards all living beings. Om Jnanati Mirandasa Yenanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmae Sri Guruve Namam Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sarvam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sya Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsham Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam tam sajivam sadaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya divam Sri Radha Krishna padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedantam Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Taru Vaishya Kripa Sindhubhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I was reflecting recently that when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or we participate in the Krishna consciousness, we join. Sometime after some years, we sometimes feel like, what is happening? Am I progressing? Is something supposed to happen or am I just passing by the days? Doubt starts coming. Is this real? Yeah, I like to chant, but what is the result am I supposed to get? So of course, mind sometimes like to divert our attention from Krishna, and mind is expert on that. So we have a battle. And mind will come and say, why you want to do something appear superficial? Why don't you do something real? But then Srila Prabhupada, in Nectar Devotion, very nicely explained. I really just fell in love with Nectar of Devotion, the book. beautiful summary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada expressing that if you really seriously and sincerely take this process, Krishna consciousness, you will go down to your constitutional spiritual level where you can actually feel that love is our innermost longing. We are all feel innate longing for Krishna. At that time, you will say, those who are not chanting, those who are not following Krishna consciousness, they are superficial. Until that switch point, what I found, it's difficult to convince self. Even though I may not tell anyone, but I feel. And I keep on chanting, but I supposed to feel something tangible, Krishna consciousness experience. We supposed to relish bhakti and distribute. We cannot tell others that this is the happy life if we are not experiencing. Obviously. So the point, key point is, where is this transition? That feeling nothing happening to substantially feeling happy in Krishna consciousness. So Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada in the preface, those who studied, even though I read this many times, but I missed many key points. This time we had a serious student, 64 student Bhakti Shastri course on Zoom. And every line we are studying about Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion preface, he gave such a secret, it's more than Rupa Goswami Pad gave. He gave a relevant and link connection from where we are to where Rupa Goswami Pad actually started expressing the pure love. Yes, we are looking for pure love. But where we are, it's difficult to connect. So Prabhupada filled that gap through his preface, not on the chapter 1, on the preface, his own expression. I was looking at Jiva Goswami Pad and Rupa Goswami Pad, Bhishan Chakravarti Thakur, their commentary doesn't have this. So there are few key points. One key point Prabhupada writes, no one can live in this world without loving someone. If you read, you remember that. It's like I read many times but never woke me up, you know. He said, nobody can live without loving someone. And then he relayed that why the family men are working so hard for the family, why the society, politician, he include businessmen, philanthropists, socialists, what is the purpose of their life, they're doing things they do? They're trying to fulfill that experience of pure love. But they're always disappointed. Until somebody comes to develop love for Krishna, they will never be satisfied completely. And Prabhupada expressed that how this will take place. And at that time, he can actually love everybody, whether it's a politician or whatever field he is. So five things I picked from the whole expression of Prabhupada in his preface. Loving Krishna enables our love to break free from all limitations. Second point is, Krishna is eminently lovable. This is his eternal default position. Third is, Krishna's love is unconditional for us. And fourth is, Krishna loves all of us impartially. And fifth point, Krishna engages his omnipotence to help us when we desire or choose to love Him. And those who are practicing for a while, those who are sincere, serious, they can reflect and see exactly all these things are happening. This is such exciting, how this Krishna's pure love actually, through nectar devotion, connects wherever we are, doesn't matter. So number one, as I mentioned, we're going to discuss a little bit. Loving Krishna and others, our love, to break free from all limitations. So let's see the reference, how we see. Our love constantly longs to rush forth beyond all limitations. But as long as we love any material object or a person, the flow of our love remains constrained by two often subconscious fears. What is it? We limit the love that we offer to others due to the fear that it may be at worst rejected insensitively or at best reciprocated inadequately. It's a practical, you know, we see this. We also fear that focusing our love on one person may limit our capacity to love others. I mean, even in our community, you know, I like my group, or the other things like, okay, we are like kind of deprived of it or something. How about when we consciously and consistently offer our love to Krishna, we gradually discover that it breaks free from both this limitation. And you may say, how and why? Krishna notices attentively that every drop of love that we offer Him and reciprocates perfectly by flooding our heart with fulfilling waves of love. When we experience His magnificent reciprocation, we feel inspired to offer Him all the love of our heart and more still. Krishna being the source of everyone and everything, encompasses all of existence. All living beings are His beloved children. So the love that we offer Him does not stay stuck with Him. What happened then? But it returns through Him to embrace as many living beings as our heart desires. That's what Prabhupada personally exhibited this. In Prabhupada's day-to-day dealings with the devotees, he exhibited it. That's why when we focus our love on Krishna, we become increasingly capable of loving more and more people. It's a fact. We see a lot of, I mean, with Radhanath Maharaj, I see this all the time. You know, I travel sometimes with him in India. This year, pandemic, I don't know. The Bhagavad Gita points to this majestic expansion, also an act of devotion, of our capacity of love when it states that devotees who love Krishna becomes the benefactor of all living beings. This is in 12th chapter, we see this. An act of devotion, Prabhupada put this very nicely. So the conclusion is, by loving Krishna, we let our love break free from its limitation. Deep down in our heart, we do want to still like to love everybody, isn't it? I mean, sometimes at least we feel that way. And when we develop love for Krishna, this happens. And Prabhupada even said one time, I'm paraphrasing, say, yes, because I love Krishna, so I love everyone. Generally, Prabhupada is very humble, he doesn't say much, but he loves Krishna so much. So now, the second point I was mentioning, Krishna is eminently lovable. How to understand this? This verse 4.9, you all know in Bhagavad Gita. We can recite together. Janma karma chame dibbam evam jobeti tattataha tekta deham punar janma naiti mameti sahorjana. Srila Prabhupada translates, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, takes his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. One time Prabhupada, one lecture, he says, so if you know Krishna's birth, Krishna's appearance, then you will never take birth. How sweet. If you don't want to take birth in the material, miserable world, then you better learn how Krishna takes birth. Then it's easy, very easy. Krishna claimed that. Krishna himself revealed that. Janma karma chame dibbam. This is the divine. He's not a regular child of this world. He's a divine birth. So Krishna is so given to love that he renounces everything. Even his godhood. Isn't it? For the sake of love. Of course, he always remains God. But he renounces his godhood in the sense that he conceals his godhood and acts as if he were not God, just for the sake of love. How sweet Krishna exhibits this. His love for love makes him eminently lovable. And if you look at that verse again, in a scrutinizing way, Krishna performed childhood pastimes, childhood pranks like stealing butter. Is that an activity of God, you think? But generally not. Only the Hare Krishna people think, yes. Beside Hare Krishna, you cannot say that, well, you know what God does, he steals butter every day. So many people who know about Krishna through their culture of tradition, like us, consider those pastimes are amusing, isn't it? Look at the Alachua temple. Every year we used to, this year we don't know, but every year we used to celebrate 1 month Damodar Lila, every day, offering lamb, singing so sweetly, Namami Saram. Sachidananda rupam lasatundalam gokule brajmanam. So sweet, the song, and deep meaning, of course. But what we are celebrating? If outsider thinks, oh, I went to Hare Krishna temple, they talk about God, the God is crying, he's afraid of his mother. What the outside world will think? Better don't go. You're talking about God crying out of fear? So his mother bound him? They will not. But for us, it's amusing how Krishna, the Supreme, for the sake of love, he performed this childhood wonderful pastimes, isn't it? And he takes birth when? Middle of the night. Nisite jayamane janardane. Those verses are explained that how in a deep dark night, Kongsa, everybody is sleeping, guards are sleeping, and Krishna does appear in the jail. So sweet. He makes this amusing pastimes. So how can knowing Krishna liberate, just by knowing his birth lila, Krishna claimed that you will come to me. You will no more take birth. How he does this? Let's discuss a few minutes. Because when we know him, we fall in love with him. Everybody understood that point? God is both great and sweet, is it? When we think of God's greatness, he is omniscient, omnipotent, he is everywhere. He is the universal form. Everything exists in him. If you surrender, you are free of anxiety, free of fear. All this majestic aspect evokes our submission, isn't it? We do this every day in Bhagavatam class or Sadhu Sangha. When we hear his sweet pastime, what happened to us? It evokes our affection for him, isn't it? And that affection will deliver us. No more birth in this world. But we need to also submit. Submission and affection both has to be simultaneously. If you do only submission and no affection for the Lord, you may get out of Maya, but the heart will be hard-hearted a little bit. Still anartha will be living there about impersonally. So we want to also hear about the sweet pastime of the Lord. Only sweet pastime without surrender also not good. Because dirty container, heart, is still there. So both is required. Submission and affection. So this is what the second point. When you hear about Krishna's beautiful, amazing pastimes, then you feel like, I want to be there with the Brajavasis, love him, play with him, do all this. How can I not love Krishna, who is so given to love, therefore is so supremely lovable? And when we choose to love Krishna, how can he stop himself from fulfilling his heart's longing to take us back to home and reinstate us in his world of love? So the conclusion is that proper philosophical vision helps us cross the bridge from amusing to amazing in our understanding of Krishna. When we therefore fall in love with him, he helps us to cross the far greater bridge from the material world to the Krishna Loka, Golok Vrindavan. So first point, everybody is keeping track. First point was, loving Krishna enables our love to free from all limitations. And second point we discussed, Krishna is eternally, eminently lovable. And you remember the third point? Third point is Krishna loves all of us unconditionally. Oh, sorry, impartially. And the fourth one is unconditionally. So let's discuss about little bit how Krishna loves us all impartially. Of course, other day we discuss about he actually loves us impartially partial. So let's see. So everybody knows that famous verse in Bhagavad Gita. Samaham sarva bhutesu na deshasti na priya je bhajanti tumam bhakta maite te suchapi aham. And Srila Prabhupada translates, I envy no one. This is Krishna himself speaking to Arjuna. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend in him. So that's impartially partial. So he is equal to all and does not consider anyone to be an object of aversion or affection. For those who offer themselves to him and worship him with devotion, he offers himself We just read, right? Prabhupada said, to them in return. These two features suggest that Krishna is both partial and impartial. How can that be? The key to understand Krishna's mysterious nature is to remember that he is not an impersonal principle, but a sentient person. Being a person, Krishna is neither neutral nor partial. He is reciprocal. Everybody understood? When we try to avoid him, he reciprocates by not interfering in our lives and by letting us stay under the supervision of the impartial law of karma. When we try to love him, he reciprocates by showering his love on us and by intervening to take special care of us. I remember one time devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, do you love your disciples equally? And Prabhupada immediately says, yes. But then after a few minutes, he says, but some of the disciples took so much responsibility and they always inquire and ask my suggestion, help. So it appears that I am favoring them the most. But it was very nice the way Prabhupada said. So we can relate how Krishna also reciprocates. He loves all the living beings. Even I was reading other day on first canto, 13th chapter, that in the purport Prabhupada writes that when Duryodhan fell dead, his legs split by Bhima, Krishna looked at Duryodhan and he did not feel good. Really, Krishna, even though Krishna was on the side of the Bhima, you can say, but at the same time he felt sad for Duryodhan. And the Prabhupada's, I'm paraphrasing, the way Prabhupada put the purport, Krishna felt, I wish he would listen to me. I went so many times. I wish he would transcend his dirty consciousness to pure consciousness, that he could live with me forever, happily. So deep down in Krishna's heart, he always wants us to go back home, but he does not interfere in our free will. Even though it's a minute, but still, it's free will, free choice. He will not. Even he will not force any living entity to come back to him. Except one time I remember another, I was making some Prabhupada's quote, you know, something that very relevant to my life, you know, sometimes. Prabhupada said, one time devotee says, can we pray to Krishna to force me to surrender? Prabhupada said, yes. Krishna will not force you, but you can pray, Krishna, please force me to surrender. Yes, you can pray, Prabhupada said, and he will make you surrender. Very sweet. But he will not do it on his own. If you ask, he will do it. So what is the fourth point? Yeah, okay, at the time. Krishna's love for all of us is unconditional. Everybody remember, first point was that loving Krishna enables our love to be free from all limitations. Second point was Krishna is eternally, eminently lovable. Third was, we discussed, Krishna is eternally also impartial. His love is impartial to all of us. The fourth point is, Krishna's love to all of us is unconditional. What does that mean? Let's discuss this little bit, few minutes. I found also one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, very sweet to express this. We may wonder, if Krishna loves all of us impartially, then why can't we feel his love now? Did it ever occur to you? We are practicing for so long, can't I feel his love now? Or do I have to wait for purification? When it will be end, I don't know. This idea is there. Or at least I thought, I'm sure everybody was at some point in your life, maybe you all have full of love, so you don't ask him. If we can feel it only after becoming pure, then doesn't that make his love conditional? See, that question also may arise. Depend on the condition of purity. But Nectar Devotion answers that Krishna's love is unconditional. Our capacity to experience his love is conditional. Everybody got it? His love is unconditional, but our experience, his love is conditional. And the conditionality of this capacity is also an evidence of his love for us. Now you may think like, what is that means? Something tangible example. First, we can understand the difference between objective fact of Krishna's love and our subjective experience of his love. Objectively, Krishna loves all of us, irrespective of whether we act piously or sinfully. You understand that? No matter what misdeed we do, he still keeps residing in our heart, helping us as much as we allow him. You know, I reflect in my childhood life that one friend, we didn't have cell phone those days or any communication. It's only like word to mouth. So he tried to communicate, he tried to communicate through different people coming to that village. He said, tell this boy, my name, Govind, that I will need to talk to him. When can I come or he can come? But I heard this few times, I didn't care. Because I had some argument, I don't want to see. So then after a few months, he really came over and he apologized. And then I also felt better. And then we had a nice talk and nice ending. And when I was reading that verse, that Krishna is eternally with us, Sarvasvach aham ridhi sannivishta. 15:15, Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Sarvasvach aham ridhi sannivishta. So since time immemorial is going around with us, never ever asked or demanded or anything, he's always just be with us, next to us. So back to this, just as our eyes need to be open to see sunlight, our heart needs to be pure to feel Krishna's love. For example, Prabhupada gave that example. When sun is up, so you think Krishna's love is like a sun. Sun is always up in the sky. But if I am an owl, or I'm an impersonalist or whatever the example we may use, if I close the window, is it the fault of the sun that I don't experience the sunlight? Or is it my fault? It's my fault. So purification means Krishna's love is always there as a default. He's never changed. Unconditional love. But we need to start opening our heart to experience that love. Sometimes devotee even asks, does Krishna knows what we are going through, or Krishna experience what we are going through? So I remember one time I was talking to Chaitanya Charan Prabhu over the phone. We have a little WhatsApp chat, something. He said, I don't know. What do you think? I said, I don't know. What do you think? So back and forth. But then Bhagavad Gita actually explains this. Just like you maybe close your eye, and if the skunk, or say rose, maybe we give a good example, roses, flower somebody is holding, and my eyes are closed, by smelling I can immediately experience that the rose. Do I need to see it? No. Just by smelling, one senses. So Krishna's senses are so well, eternally, that He is actually sitting in our heart. When we turn towards Him, He actually knows and experiences. But if we don't want to turn towards Him on my own, then you are on your own. At that time He is just waiting for you to turn. If you want Him to see what you are going through, He will. Jato sabda matkata asu, nirvinna sarva karmasu, veda dukkha atmakan kaman puriteja apimashya. In that verse, Krishna expressed this. That I am sitting in your heart. I see you sometimes fail in your sadhana, but you still don't give up. You keep on chanting. You don't adopt another path. You see with the devotees, they even drift sometime in a few decades, but they come back. They don't adopt another. And then you read this sloka, you think like Krishna knows. Krishna actually experiencing what's going on with the devotees. It's so nice. Because of the time, I'm going to go to the last point. Last point we mentioned, that Krishna engaged, number five, His omnipotence to help us when we choose to love Him. You understand the point? Krishna engages His omnipotence to help us. When? When we choose to love Him. So at the same time, Krishna does use His omnipotence to help us. How we can understand? In two ways. One, He makes Himself constantly available to us. And second, He accommodates us when we falter in our attempts to love Him. And I am guilty of that. You know, many times I fail, you know, express or do things, even in life. In that verse that we quote as Sarvasya Chaham, if you look at very scrutinizingly word-to-word meaning Prabhupada gives, sometimes Prabhupada's word-to-word synonyms meaning has a very deep meaning. In the translation has a little different meaning. So sometimes you have to read both. It's very secret sometimes. Prabhupada gives everything, but in a different places you have to search it. Krishna states that He personally resides in the heart, in that sloka we read, for guiding us to our ultimate good. He uses His omnipotence to manifest Himself in innumerable expansion as the Super Soul, who resides in the heart of every living being, Jiva. The Super Soul acts like Krishna's personalized incarnation for each and every one of us. There, He waits for us to voluntarily express our love for Him, or at least our desire to love Him. We can express this desire by rendering devotional service, according to scriptural guidance. When He sees our sincere desire, He reciprocates by using His omnipotence to remove the roadblocks on our path to purity. So from His strategic vantage point in our heart, Krishna observes our misadventures in material existence and strives to bring them to an adventurous, auspicious ending. You may say, how? Krishna is ever waiting. As I mentioned before that example, you will never find in the material world, if you ignore or neglect even your spouse or your friend for too long, they eventually start thinking of something wrong and they want to separate from you. And they do. And if you keep on ignoring and neglecting, even, does Krishna neglect? Yes. He neglects our neglects. Because we are neglecting him, but he neglects that. So he stays in the heart. He never leaves. Krishna is ever willing. Krishna, being God, is perfect and complete. He has no work to do, has nothing to gain from his relationship with us. Yet, due to his selfless and tireless love for us, he voluntarily and consistently worked to help us return to him, thereby become eternally happy. And there is a famous verse I was reciting to Bhakti Charu Maharaj's last minute of his departure in the hospital, Advent Hospital. This Gajendra Moksha. We should memorize those verses. So sweet. Prabhupada actually gave a wonderful explanation. So this verse, because of the time, Madrika Prapanna Poshupasa Vimokshanaya. In this verse, we see that Krishna is stating a very interesting point. That when we strive to love Krishna, we often falter and fall due to our attachment and weakness. Krishna accommodates us despite our lapses, as is movingly demonstrated through a two-verse sequence in the Bhagavad Gita 9.30 and 31. Everybody knows this. Apicheto sudara achara bhajate mamananda bhava. And the next verse is Shipram bhavati dharmatma sasya chanti nigacchati. So those two verses, if you really analytically you think how merciful Krishna is, the first verse offers a glimpse of the unconditional nature of Krishna's love. Isn't it? There is nothing that we can ever do. Even if you say, well, I did not really chant, I did not really come to Mangalati, I did not do, I shortfall so many times in my life. Did Krishna say, I'm going to count this? No. In that verse he said, you are still considered a lover, devotee. You are still considered a saint. This is a wonderful verse. In Prabhupada's birthday, early days in Hyderabad, some scholar, Pandit, South Indian Pandit, they came to celebrate. And Prabhupada gave the lecture, and there was some devotee, Western Matajis and Prabhus. And the first thing he says, Krishna says the definition of saint in Bhagavad Gita, and then he quoted that verse. Apicheto sudura acharo bhajate mam anandava. So some Pandit knew. He said, do you know the meaning of it? Is these devotees from the West. They do not do things like you do, pious activity like doing Ganesh Puja, Shiva Puja, this one, this thing, that thing, this thing, that thing. But they did exactly what Krishna says, anandava. They have a one-pointed, they love Krishna, whatever capacity they can. They do not divert or go to any other process. They always try to chant and think of Krishna. Therefore, they are the real sadhu. I always think about it. Wow, what a vision Prabhupada had. We are follower. We should have that vision. That any devotee chanting anywhere, whatever they go, he or she goes to, that doesn't matter. To the eye of Krishna, they are real sadhu. And Krishna is guiding them. Slowly, slowly, they will come back to eternal abode, Golok Vrindavan. And where is the proof? Savi pungsa paro dharma jato bhakti radakshade ahetuki apratiyata jayapna asu prasiddhati. If you are eagerly chanting, performing devotional service, then Krishna says, it will please me. Atma here referred to two, Paramatma and the soul. And it will please you. You may not experience now, but eventually if you start opening your heart to embrace the Lord, you will see His love will saturate your whole existence and it will be their joyful journey. So I'll end here. If anybody has any reflection, question, comment, or anything. Yes, please. Yes. See, Krishna does not see so much of your magnitude, rather he sees your attitude instead of magnitude. How much you did for Krishna, Krishna does not really think so much about it. But Krishna look at that, what attitude you maintain when you are serving him. So when they served under Prabhupada's or Ishkan Guru's guidance, they are sincere. We see that devotees are very sincere. And Krishna will never ever forget that person. Now due to the karma, due to the offense, due to so many things possible, and Bhagavatam says this, that they will be diverted, they will go here, there. But in a million year life, what is this little few years, decades, it's like a little glimpse. You know, it's like a blink of eye. They will come back. They'll come back and they'll go on where they left. Prabhupada says in one lecture, if you finish 27%, next you'll start from 28%. Nothing is lost. Naha vikramana asasti pratyabhayana vidyate. Salpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Salpam. Salpam means what? Even one day if you became a devotee in Hare Krishna temple. Salpam means so tiny. Even if you stayed 1 year in Hare Krishna temple, you are protected from that moment. Even if you deviate, according to Krishna. Make sense? Thank you. Any other? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gautamanande Hari Hari Bol.
See you.